Monday, August 3rd, was a busy and important day. At noon, I went down to the first floor dining room to greet all the 7 assembled Russells who were having lunch. In the family dining room, I had arranged for a tour of the White House with the curator, but the tour of the FBI had suggested a trip to Mount Vernon, Arlington, and of course the Smithsonian and the Wax Museum, those two happy hunting grounds for youngsters, and had made a car available, and otherwise they were on their own. And then I went up to Capitol Hill for a luncheon that was being given for me by Maureen Mansfield, all the Senate wives as guests. Dear and delightful idea on her part. First, she took me in to see Lyndon's old office, and to my amazement, there was a freshly painted gold sign above the door, a plaque, that said, Lyndon B. Johnson occupied this room from January 7, 1959, to November 22, 1963, first as Majority Leader and later as Vice President of the United States. He was sworn in as President following the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. We walked into the office, dear old P-38. It was rather sad, rather that like looking at a face from which the eyes have been plucked, because it no longer has the pictures, the decorative details, but some of the good furniture is still there. It's now used for meetings, and it's under the jurisdiction of the Majority Leader. And across the hall is the room which the Majority Leader actually uses it, and above it is a plaque which reads, Senator John F. Kennedy occupied this room from the time he was nominated for the office of President of the United States on July 13, 1960, until his inauguration on January 20, 1961. These are the second and third rooms in the Capitol to be named after members of the Senate. The first one, a long time ago, was named after Senator Arthur Vandenberg. There were more than 50 of the Senate wives at the luncheon. I was delighted to see so many of them still there. The lunch was to give me a chance to visit with them, come back to the Hill, and to say goodbye for the summer. Although, at this point, heaven knows when Congress will end. I sat between Maureen and Ivo Sparkman, and the two lady senators, Margaret Chase Smith and Maureen Neuberger Solomon, hard to get used to that new name, were co-hostesses. Betty Talmadge hadn't gotten back from the wedding in Georgia, but Rosemary Smathers was there. Muriel was close by. Luella Dirksen made a sweet little toast at the end of it. And Maureen had such nice things to say. I did enjoy it tremendously. Then back to the White House for a session with Howard Smith and Bob Fleming about my ABC show, which they proposed to film in about a week. With fear and trembling, I'd approach it, but with determination. It couldn't be worse than some of the stories in the Wall Street Journal. And maybe the people of the country might come to know us a little better and like us a little better through meeting us face to face on TV, banned from the way the Wall Street Journal and Life magazine paint us. Then I worked on the mail. It was another late night for Lyndon. I saw that the children ate early. But Betty Ann and Bobby and Mrs. Camel stayed up with me to entice Lyndon home for dinner, which we finally had at 10 o'clock after prolonged telephone calls. The poverty bill is coming up. It is closed. Lyndon is a long way from sure that it will pass. And he's very concerned because, as he says, everything else was a Kennedy bill. This is the only bill that is mine. I remember he talked to Joe Kilgore. It went something like this. Halleck gets all of his United, and then he gets about 30 or 40 of our Judge Smith's. If I cannot lead them in this, I cannot lead them in anything. This is the only bill that really bears my stamp. With 16% of our young people unemployed, it was a very persuasive conversation. During the course of sitting around, Linda came in looking like an Eskimo in that big fringed sweater from Norway and big white fluffy shoes. She'd been down in the theater watching a movie. It was going on up to the roof. Lucy and Jack are in the solarium, the favorite two haunts of our two children. Lyndon's mind remained geared to the poverty bill. He said, I'm going to lose one-third of the delegation on the only bill I have submitted. Of course, he meant the Texas delegation. Finally, at 10 o'clock, we went in to dinner, and then to a reasonably early bed at 11:30.